Let's read verse 12, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. Saving faith is not ashamed to own the gospel. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. So in that verse we see knowledge of him, confidence in him, and a commitment, total sellout to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm taking the title from that verse, Our Lord is Able. I'm persuaded. Saving faith is persuaded that he, the Lord Jesus Christ, is able. He's able to do all that he has promised. He's able to save to the uttermost. That is a very good study for us to look at, is just the word able. What is our Savior able to do? Well, he's able to do all things according to his power. True saving faith then is confident in who? True saving faith doesn't look to yourself. True saving faith always looks to the Lord Jesus Christ. We put it this way. Saving faith is objective. That is, we look to the Lord Jesus Christ, looking unto him who is the author and finisher of our faith. Every sinner saved by the grace of God is confident that he is able, almighty, and powerful. Therefore, we have no confidence in the flesh. Our confidence is in him. I'm persuaded, aren't you, that he is able. He is the able Savior, Son of God, to redeem them that were given to him. Our Lord Jesus Christ has all an absolute ability and power to accomplish all of his purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus from the foundation of the world. He worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. He has all power in heaven and in earth. The gospel of God is all about who he is and his glorious redeeming work. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? He is God. God Almighty in all things. Turn back just a couple pages to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Another one of these verses that just jumps out at you. 1 Timothy 3:16. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, or vindicated, declared by the Spirit of God to be the Son of God, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Remember we read, he said, no man takes my life from me. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received from my Father. The gospel of God is all about the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We call the gospel the blessed gospel of the glory of God. Paul said, I'm separated unto the gospel of God concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord has all power in heaven and in earth to accomplish his will, his purpose, with absolute sovereign power over all things. Remember the scripture from Daniel chapter 3, where all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of this earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, Lord God Almighty, what doest thou? The Father hath given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as the Father hath given him. Saving faith is persuaded that he's able, that he's the able Savior. Now, we come to verse 12. And in verse 12, we have a good definition of true saving faith. True saving faith. Basically, four or five things we see in verse 12. True saving faith. Now, let me ask you this. How important is faith? How important is faith? Well, our Lord said this, without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's not difficult. He said it's not difficult. It's impossible to please God without faith. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. He that heareth my word and believeth on me has everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. So saving faith is essential, isn't it? It's essential to salvation. That's how we receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is a gift of God. And saving faith receives the Lord Jesus Christ to accomplish salvation for us. Now I want to look at four things found in verse 12 that describe saving faith. The faith of God's elect that glorifies God. For the which cause, let's read verse 11 and 12. Whereunto Paul says, I'm appointed a preacher. I'm appointed an apostle. I'm appointed a teacher of the Gentiles, teaching sinners the way of salvation in Christ. For the which cause I also suffer. He suffered many things, didn't he? Beaten and hated, chased from town to town, persecuted. Nevertheless, he says, I'm not ashamed. Now that's the first thing. Saving faith is not ashamed to own the Lord Jesus Christ. Not ashamed of the gospel. True saving faith is not ashamed of Him. Look up the page there in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Remember what Paul, when he writes to young Timothy, he says in verse 8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner, but be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, the power of God who saved us, and the power of God who called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to God's own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So first of all, saving faith, the faith of God's elect, is not ashamed to own the Lord Jesus Christ. We sang just a moment ago, and Jesus, shall it ever be a mortal man ashamed of thee? Ashamed of thee whom angels praise, whose glory shine through endless days. We're not ashamed to own the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord said this in Mark chapter 8. Whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words in this sinful generation, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory. So we're not ashamed to own the Lord Jesus Christ as everything in our salvation. Now I want you to turn to a couple of scriptures with me. Turn over here to Romans chapter 10. Remember, and this is quoted from Isaiah 28, where it said, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone. He that believeth on him shall not be forced to flee, shall not be confounded. Look at Romans 10, verse 11. Let's read verse 10. Romans 10, 10, and then verse 11. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. We're not ashamed to own the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's true of saving faith. Saving faith is not ashamed to own him as everything in our salvation. And that's an amazing thing. But I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Saving faith, the faith of God's elect that acknowledges the truth, is not ashamed to own Him as our God and as our Savior. I love the confession of Thomas. When Thomas was faced with the risen, glorified Lord, he said, my Lord and my God. Hebrews chapter 2, look at verse 10. For it became him, for whom are all things, verse 10, by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for the which cause he is not ashamed to call us brethren. Now it's a miracle of God's grace that we are not ashamed to own Him as all of our redemption, of all of our righteousness, as all of our salvation. But what is a greater miracle is He's not ashamed to own us. He called us His children, His bride. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. Now that's love. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the sacrifice for our sin. So look back to the text now, 2 Timothy 1, verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless Boy, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed to own the sovereign God that's revealed in the Word of God. Now, the second point is this. For. You see that word for? It can also be rendered because. Because I know whom I have believed. I know whom I trust. I know whom I am looking to. I know whom I have believed. Here is knowledge of Him. Saving faith has knowledge, saving knowledge of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. I know whom I have believed. Now notice carefully that He doesn't say I know what I believe, nor when I believed, but I know Him. I know whom I have believed. Who's He talking about? The Lord Jesus Christ, who saved us and called us according to His own purpose and grace. He that hath the Son hath everlasting life. So a spiritual knowledge of Christ is necessary and given with saving faith. Saving faith, true saving faith, is not born of lies, nor the tales of men, the wise tales of men, but rather from the truth of the Word of God. You see, faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? The Word of truth. The Word of truth. The Word of God. You see, it's the Word of God that's the power of God unto salvation. How shall they hear? Except the Lord send them a gospel preacher. If you want to turn with me, you can. Look back to Romans 10 one more time. Romans 10 one more time. Verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without somebody sending them a gospel preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written, Isaiah 52:7, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, that bring glad tidings of good things. And the message is, behold, thy God, He does reign. The more we know of Him, the more we know of Him, who He is, what He's done, the more we trust Him, don't we? The more we know of Him, the more we grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, the more we trust Him and look to Him. The foundation of our faith is not feeling, not emotion. The foundation of saving faith is the Word of God, the written Word of God. You cannot trust an unrevealed, an unknown God. True faith is not blind and ignorant. True faith rests in the revelation of the knowledge of Christ revealed in the Scripture. Turn one page, 2 Timothy chapter 3, look at verse 15. 2 Timothy 3, 15. And that from a child. Remember, he's writing to young Timothy. He's writing from a prison cell in Rome. Paul's in jail. Thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. One more verse. All Scriptures given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, perfect, truly, completely furnished unto all good works, all good deeds. So, back to the text. This is a good definition of what saving faith is and what saving faith does. Number one, I'm not ashamed to own Him as everything in salvation, the true sovereign Christ of God. And then secondly, I know whom I have believed. You see, what you believe is determined by who you believe. If you believe Him, you believe all of His teaching. I know whom I have believed. And then the third thing is this. I'm persuaded. I'm persuaded that it's not I'm persuaded that I'm able. I'm persuaded that He is able. He's able to perform everything that God has given Him to do for us. I'm persuaded that He is able. True saving faith is confident and fully persuaded in the Savior's willingness and power and ability to justify the ungodly. I'm persuaded of His ability. Remember, He said, no man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him. We are the true children of God, which worship Him in the Spirit, that rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have no confidence in the flesh. None whatsoever. I'm persuaded that He is able, the only just God and Savior. He is able. Let me give an example of that. Turn over to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. I'm persuaded that He is able. Here's two men blind. Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. Matthew 9, 27. And the Lord Jesus departed thence, and two blind men followed Him, crying, say, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when He was come into the house, the blind men came to Him, and Jesus said unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto Him, yes, Lord. Now, who were they trusting? Who did they think was able to make them to see? He touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them that they see that no man know it. He said, don't go tell it. Just know that I made you to see. We are persuaded that He is able. He is the able Savior. True saving faith always looks to the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is able. I'm persuaded, aren't you? What persuasion are you? I'm persuaded. Turn to Romans chapter 4. There's a question sometimes that goes around in religious circles, among mixed religious circles, and they say, well, what persuasion are you? Are you Catholic, Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal? That's what they mean by that question. What persuasion are you? Well, I'm persuaded like Abraham was. Here's my persuasion. I'm persuaded He is able. He is able. Romans chapter 4, look at verse 21. Being fully persuaded that what God had promised, He is able to perform. I'm persuaded that He is able to perform all that He promised. And boy, He's promised a lot. I'm persuaded that He is able to perform all that was promised of God. Therefore, it was imputed to Him for righteousness. Romans 4:23. Now it was not written for His sake alone that it was imputed to Him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who is delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. I'm persuaded that He is able to do all that He had promised for us. All the promises of God, turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. All the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, and amen, and to the glory of God by Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, Romans 8, 35, you got it? Or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, peril, or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us, for I am persuaded. You see it there? Verse 39, I'm persuaded. I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm persuaded that He is able. He is able. Turn back to the book of Hebrews again. Find Hebrews chapter 7. I'm persuaded that He is able. He's the able, willing Savior of sinners. The willing and able one. Able Savior. Look at Hebrews 7, verse 25. Verse 24 talks about our great high priest that continueth ever. He has an unchangeable priesthood. Hebrews 7, 24. Verse 25, wherefore He is able. He is able to save them. You see it? To the uttermost that come to God by Him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens. I'm persuaded that he is able. I'm persuaded. How about you? Turn to one more scripture there in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed they were pilgrims and strangers in this earth. We are persuaded of all the promises, and we embrace them. Now turn over just a few pages over here toward the book of Revelation to the little book of Jude. And this is probably one of my favorite scriptures right here. Jude, there's just one chapter, so verse 24, right before the Revelation. Now unto him, verse 24, that is able. Who's able? He's able. Now unto him that is able, I'm persuaded he's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and forever. And what do you say to that? I say amen. He's able. He's able. This is what he gives us as the definition of saving faith. Now look at 2 Timothy 1:12. For the which cause I suffer these things, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded he's able. He's able to perform all that he has promised. Now, the last one is this. I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I am persuaded. And I'm committed. Saving faith is totally sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ. Committed to him. Totally committed unto our blessed Savior. True saving faith always and only and exclusively looks to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're committed, sold out to him. Now, what part of salvation have we committed unto him? Now, careful now. What part of salvation have we committed unto him? We've committed all of our salvation unto him. He is the Savior. He's able to save to the uttermost. Therefore, we commit everything we have to him. All things are his. In him we live and move. In him we have our being. All of it. The whole of our redemption is in his hands. For he has mighty hands. He has all power to save those given to him in that covenant of grace. The whole of redemption is in his hands, who cannot fail. He is mighty to save. As long as you're trusting something you've done, something you've given, some righteousness you've brought, you've not fully sold out and committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. We've committed the whole of our salvation to him. Not a part of it. All of it. He is the only Savior who saves his people from their sin. He is a willing Savior, the able Savior, and the Savior who has all power to save. Now, you remember the story in the book of Ruth of the kinsman redeemer? His name was Boaz. Boaz. Boaz was a personal type of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. To be a kinsman redeemer, you had to meet three qualifications under the law. You had to be near kin, you had to be willing to redeem, and you had to be able to redeem. Boaz met all three of those things, and he was the willing and able and near kin redeemer to Ruth and Naomi. And the Lord Jesus Christ is our near kin redeemer. He's near kin to us. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He was the real man who was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And he is indeed the willing Redeemer, isn't he? He said, I came down here not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will that it sent me, that all that he had given me, I lose nothing, but raise them up again at the last day. He is indeed the near kin redeemer. He is indeed the willing redeemer. And he is indeed the able redeemer, right? He's able to save. He came to seek and to save that which is lost, right? This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. The Lord Jesus Christ came to save who? Sinners. He said, I didn't come to call the righteous. I came to call sinners to repentance. He is a willing and able redeemer. Now we can be sure of this Bible truth. We are totally depraved sinners, right? Guilty, with no ability to save ourselves. We cannot redeem ourselves from our sin. Salvation is not by our obedience. Salvation is by His obedience unto death. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy. He saved us. Now look back to that verse again. What is the definition of faith? We're not ashamed of Him. We know whom we have believed. And we are persuaded that He is able. And then we've committed everything unto Him. That's a good definition of saving faith. The disciples asked the Lord one day. They said, well, who then can be saved? When that young rich ruler came to the Lord seeking salvation upon the deeds of the law. And the Lord gave him the strictness of the law. And that man turned and walked away. And the disciples then said, well, who then can be saved? He said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. With God, all things are possible. With God. Anything too hard for the Lord? No. He's able. He's able to save, able to keep, able to do all that He promised according to His riches and glory through the Lord Jesus Christ.